See what I have seen, Bishop. Barefooted children, drunkards, mothers degrading themselves to earn a crust for their families. Cripples.
Horrible, horrible, but we're dealing with shopkeeper minds, I'm afraid. Ever anxious to see a return on their investment.
Again, it comes down to money. How can one value the word of God in pounds, shillings, and pence? What is the dividend on piety, temperance, and chastity? It is eternal life, Bishop. Eternal life.
Don't misunderstand me. You have my utmost confidence. I merely feel it right, as your father-in-law, to let you know which way the wind is blowing.
Of course. Thank you.
How is Clara?
It is on Clara's behalf that I am here.
Oh?
She wouldn't ask you herself, but she is finding life hard on a vicar's stipend.
She has never complained.
She is proud, Bishop. Perhaps if you were to increase my stipend by a few pounds...
Impossible. You receive the same as all priests in my diocese.
For your daughter's sake...
I cannot be seen to show favour.
But we cannot afford servants. Clara does all the cooking and housework...
My dear Skimpton, hardship, if that is what it is, brings a man closer to the Lord. Consider Dives and Lazarus. Did not Lazarus abound in that blessing of the Lord which maketh rich?
Are you such a nip-farthing as to watch your own daughter suffer? I had expected better.
Rest assured, Skimpton, you and Clara will never go hungry. I'll make sure of that.
As will I, Bishop. As will I.
We present Bucket and the Whited Sepulchre by James Hendry.
Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
A pleasing sermon, Reverend Mr. Skimpton. Most pleasing, as the French might say, très charmant.
You are too kind.
You have a gift. I do believe you could charm the birds from the trees.
Thank you, Mrs. Balkby. They say in every clergyman lurks an actor.
Or, as the French have it, il y a un acteur dans chaque curé.
Mr. Balkby is studying French.
Indeed. So you enjoyed the sermon, Mrs. Balkby?
Very.
Nico.
Which part in particular?
Nicodemus.
Forgive me, I think I see my wife.
Ah, il voit son femme.
Sa femme, Henry.
D'accord.
Clara, can't you see I'm busy?
I'm sorry, dear. There's a man wants to speak to you.
A man?
Goodbye, Mr. Skimpton.
Yes, goodbye. And God bless you both.
Ah, dimanche.
What man?
Mr. Feike.
Oh.
There he is.
Clara, dear, I have some business, church business, in the vestry. Please excuse me.
Of course.
Wonderful.
Damn. Hell and damnation.
Did someone blaspheme? Oh, there's no one here but you, Reverend. I must have been mistaken.
What are you doing here? I told you never to
come. Is that your wife, was it? Prettier than I expected.
What did you say to her?
Credit me with some decorum. I am a professional. And on the subject of credit, you've missed a payment.
You'll have it all back in another month. Maybe two.
2 months? A total of 3 missed payments. By my reckoning, that makes 3 broken fingers on your right hand.
Ruffian.
Unless perhaps... you paid me this much interest now, in cash.
That is usury, Mr. Feike, and in a house of God.
Here. Yeah. Today's collection.
Will that do?
For now.
Nicodemus? Are you all right?
Yes.
Who was that man?
What man?
Mr. Fikey.
He was a lost sheep from my flock across the river.
What did he want?
To thank me for my help.
Oh? What help?
Now, little Clara, you know that I'm loath to sully your delicate ear with the woes of the lower orders. If I told you the half of that man's misfortune, you wouldn't sleep for a week.
Well, you gave him some comfort at least. When he left, he was positively beaming. Where are you going?
To see your father, about increasing my stipend.
We agreed you would not.
Why? He's the bishop. He drips with money. All we ask is that he drip a little of it into our bowl.
Nicodemus, don't. Papa has looked after us. Did he not install you as vicar of this parish? We have the manse. We are comfortable. We have each other. Our reward awaits us in the hereafter.
The hereafter. The hereafter, yes, that's all that remains to us, the hereafter.
Now, sit down and have your pie.
Later.
Nicodemus?
Don't worry, my darling, I'll be polite. After all, he thinks the world of me.
What's where you going, mister?
I'm terribly sorry. What is your name?
Who's asking?
Here's a penny.
The name's Thomas.
Thomas? Do you know the bishop's house, Thomas?
Yeah. The big house on Maccabee Street.
Mm-hmm. And the bishop, do you know him?
Everyone knows the bishop. A kindly gentleman, Mum says.
Oh, yes. The very soul of kindness.
Gave a rather ball for foot, though. For me foot. Diseased it is. I'll give you a look for a shilling.
Another time, perhaps. But for now, Thomas, how would you like to earn a sovereign?
Come.
Reverend Mr. Skimpton's here, sir.
Again?
I'm sorry, Bishop.
That will be all, Mrs. Fig.
Yes, sir.
Pardon this intrusion. It is most... I would have made an appointment, but I...
Really, my dear Skimpton, I think I've said all I have to say.
No, it's quite a different matter, quite different.
Are you unwell? You're as pale as whey. Sit down, dear fellow. Would you like some brandy?
No, thank you. I've come to apologise for my recent behaviour. I was quite intemperate.
You were merely concerned for Clara's welfare.
The truth is, it was my welfare, not hers, that concerned me.
Good heavens. What is it? What troubles you?
The church, my church, St. Botolph's, is haunted.
On what evidence?
Jacob.
Jacob?
The old sexton, St. Botolph's. He told me he saw a figure in a monk's cowl walking abroad in the church.
One would like to be charitable, but Jacob? Well, these are the ramblings of a senile old man.
My thoughts exactly.
Well?
Until I saw the spectre with my own eyes.
Are you sure you won't have a brandy, or perhaps you already have?
Bishop, I have seen the ghost on no less than 3 occasions, and on the third, he turned and stared at me. Stared into my soul.
A monk, you say?
A monk with a black cowl.
You've been working very hard in your parish and your Lambeth duties 3 days a week. Do you think that...
No! I saw what I saw.
I see. Skimpton, I do feel most strongly that you need some help.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping, no, praying, you would agree.
Good, good. Agree to what?
An exorcism.
Ah. Now, Skimpton, the church we belong to is a modern church. Exorcism is considered these days a little Romish. Occasionally, in special circumstances, we...
He exists, Bishop. His eyes, piercing. Piercing. I will not rest until I have shown you.
My dear fellow...
The spectre appears in the church at the stroke of 1 o'clock. Come with me. Tonight, you will see.
Tonight? Well, I don't think...
Bishop, either there is a ghost or I am out of my wits. Is it not your duty to find out which, for the sake of the parish?
Yes,
then
but...
Then meet me in the churchyard at 12:30.
Perhaps that would be best. Then I can see how we may further help you.
Thank you. And please, promise me, you'll tell no one.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Promise.
I promise.
Good. Till tonight.
Oh, my poor Clara.
Okay, Mr. Skimpton. Thank you,
Mrs. Fig. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
What did he say?
I didn't ask him, Clara.
Oh.
Here. He worried me. His manner.
His manner?
He seemed distracted, barely acknowledged my presence.
Why? What was wrong?
I don't know. He had his Bible on his lap. He kept leafing through it, shaking his head and muttering words.
What words?
No, that's what he was muttering. Words, words, that's all it is, words.
How odd.
And at one point he picked up his Bible and hurled it across the room.
No.
I didn't know what to say. And then he asked me to leave, and as I was going, he whispered, "You will look after Clara, won't you?" Over and over again.
This is most disturbing. I should go to him.
Well, it's late. He'll be in bed.
No, I really should. I'm quite upset.
Finish your hot milk first. It'll restore your spirits.
Of course.
That's it. Drink it all down. How do you feel now?
Sleepy.
That's right. Off to sleep now, Poppet.
Come on, Skimpton, where are you?
Bishop. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to creep up on you. My lantern went out. Here we are.
Good. Let's get on, shall we?
This way.
Up here, Bishop. The bell tower has 77 steps. A fact that is hard to forget when you're running for your life. Mm.
Tell me, Bishop, do you believe that ghosts can harm the living?
No, but belief in them can.
Stop! What's that?
What?
Shh. Something is following us. Something dark and vast.
Where?
It's stopped now. A step or two behind. Waiting.
Oh, Skimpton, it's your shadow, cast by your lamp. Waiting for you to start moving again.
Did you ever meet the man who was scared of his own shadow?
Calm yourself. Breathe deeply. Better?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Good. I'm nearly at the top now.
Here's the door. The spectre will manifest in this room in 10 minutes. Shall I enter first?
You have the lantern.
It will glide into the room.
Through this wall here. And... Oh, Skimpton. Skimpton.
Gosh, that lantern's gone out again.
It's pitch black in here. Skimpton.
I'm looking for my matches. Blast, drop them.
Do hurry.
You sound more nervous than I.
No. I'm fine.
There we are. And here am I. Come and join me.
I think that would be best.
There's some hardship for you, Bishop. You're closer to the Lord now.
Morning, Inspector.
Morning, Constable. You've met Jacob, I'm sure.
Yes.
There he is, Inspector.
Yes, I've met him.
The Bishop of Barnet. I come in this morning to do me polishing, and there he was, flat on the chancel floor, in a pool of blood.
Oh, nasty business. Now, Jacob, I think you're a man as strong in mind as I know you are in body.
Oh, yes,
listen very carefully, and answer my questions in likewise.
Right.
Did you move him at all?
No, sir.
That trap door up there, that was open?
Yes, sir.
How high is it? 50, 60 feet?
Thereabouts.
You've not searched the body yet, Darby.
I was waiting for you, Inspector.
Good man. Keep squeamish. Does your credit. Right.
Oh, you're kneeling in the blood.
Oh, it's dry enough.
Oh, found something, have you?
Yeah. Tell me, Jacob, is the church locked at night?
Oh, yes, sir. That's as how I knew something queer was afoot this morning, the door being ajar.
And who has the keys?
I do. Oh, as does Mr. Skimpton, the vicar.
Just you and the vicar?
Oh, yes.
And where is the vicar?
He's in the manse comforting his wife.
I see. Now, Jacob, think carefully. Yes. Does anybody else have the keys to the church?
No.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. Oh, the bishop. He has a key for all the churches in his diocese. A master key.
Like this?
Yeah, that's it. Forgot about that one.
Fine fellow, Jacob. Fine fellow. Oh,
thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, my Clara, do not fret.
I could have helped him, and now it is too late.
There was nothing you could have done. What is it?
There is a man here.
First of all, may I beg pardon for this intrusion. I was coming from the church there when I noticed your door was open. I heard voices and I thought, here are some people who can help me, and perhaps I can help them. Shall I pass by and let the opportunity drop, or shall I ignore all propriety and enter? As you see, propriety was the loser.
Indeed it was. My wife here has suffered a bereavement. If you have any business, please return in a few days.
Ah, but your wife's bereavement is my business. Mr. Skimpton, is it? I feel we're getting off on the wrong foot. I am Inspector Bucket of the Metropolitan Police.
A policeman?
A detective policeman, ma'am. You and your husband have my deepest sympathy, and my heartfelt regret that the rules oblige my presence here. But in a strange way, I'm pleased that the fates have brought us together. I hope I do not appear callous.
No, but why please?
My wife's family has church connections. May I sit?
Of course.
You see, Mrs. Bucket's grandfather was a clergyman. When I say clergyman, he was a verger. Or rather, he was dog whipper of Exeter Cathedral.
Dog whipper?
Employed to keep dogs from the cathedral precincts. Not much call for it nowadays. But ever since I learned of Mrs. Bucket's ecclesiastical antecedents, I've had a fascination with the clergy.
Oh. Are you considering taking up the cloth, Mr. Bucket?
Well, in a way I have, Reverend. Protecting my flock. Keeping dogs away from the precincts of society.
A true dog whipper. Would you like some tea?
I can't abide tea. Some snuff, perhaps. Do you have a box? Any sort will do.
I think we've got some. Here.
Thank you. It was clearly a suicide.
It's just so hard to believe. My father was suicide.
Come, Clara. It's the obvious explanation.
Nevertheless, I am troubled. Why would a man of God commit suicide, which is an affront to God, and furthermore, commit it in the house of God?
He'd not been well.
Not well?
In his mind.
Tell him, Clara.
When my husband visited him yesterday afternoon, he appeared to be angry, disconsolate, looking for solace in the Bible, but finding none. Mr. Bucket, he hurled the book across the room.
Extraordinary. That would explain the note we found in the bishop's pocket. I have it here somewhere. There, would you read it to me?
I cannot live in a world without God.
Is that your father's handwriting, Mrs. Skimpton?
Yes.
Look carefully.
That's his hand.
And there's a conclusion to it. The poor man had lost his faith. There was no affront to God in suicide, because for the bishop, there was no God.
He must have been in torment.
I am obliged to you for your precious time. Thank you, Mrs. Skimpton. Thank you, Mr. Skimpton. If only all my duties were as simple as you've made this one. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Goodbye.
Out of curiosity, why did you visit the bishop yesterday afternoon?
It was a private matter.
A private matter?
There's no point in hiding it, Clara. I went to ask for an increase in salary.
I see. Well, thank you for your candour, Reverend. It does you credit.
Well, hardly matters now, does it? Poor man.
I suppose not. More so since the bishop was a widower with no other children. Your wife is sole beneficiary. Oh, Mr. Skimpton, forgive me. It must be my manner. I'll trouble you no further. Goodbye.
Who is it?
The Reverend Nicodemus Skimpton.
What do you want?
I'm visiting Lambeth on behalf of the church, collecting alms and bringing the word of God to the poor.
You'd best come in, then. What sort of things are you collecting?
Food, clothes. Do you have any clothes?
I have many clothes. I'm an actress.
An actress?
There's this dress I'm wearing. Would this suit?
If you can spare it.
Well, for the poor, anything. Let me unbutton it for you.
No, you mustn't. Allow me. There. One more. There. Oh, my Liza.
Nick. Tell me. Is it done?
It's done. You could say the old man fell for it.
Oh, Nick, don't. It frightens me.
Perhaps this will cheer you. Put it on.
Diamonds. But, Nick...
Don't worry, my little Liza. All worries are at an end. Clara will inherit the lot. I shall pay off Mr. Fikey with plenty to spare, and we shall move you into Mayfair.
Mayfair?
Fine wines, fine food, servants. And then we shall marry, properly.
But you have one wife. What of Clara?
Dear Clara, I'm so afraid something tragic might happen to my poor Mousy. Clara.
You fear no one, Nick. Not God. Not even the police.
The police know nothing. They've closed the case. Now let's be quick. I have a sermon to prepare.
Out of bitter aloes may come sweets. Out of tragedy may come hope. Cannot all of us gain something from our bishop's sad demise?
I know I shall.
For is it not true that the bishop's loss of faith shows us the true glory of God, since its very absence in the bishop's heart caused him to take his own life?
So I say to all of you here today, take heart. We can prosper. Let us pray.
Forgive this intrusion once again, Reverend.
Inspector Bucket, I do swear you can walk through walls.
No. Your wife let me in as she was leaving for the shops. Perhaps it is best she is absent, as I can see talk of her father's death upsets her so.
So this is police business, and I thought you just enjoyed my company.
I like a man who can smile through times of sadness. Two little things are troubling me, Reverend, and I want to put my mind at rest.
There it is again.
There is what?
A little thing that troubles me. You called me Reverend. You always call me Reverend.
Are you not a Reverend?
The correct usage, Inspector, is either Reverend Mr. Skimpton or just Mr. Skimpton. Not Reverend Skimpton, and certainly never plain Reverend.
I beg your pardon. It will not happen again.
Thank you. Now, how about a drink? I know it's a little early.
I may not walk through walls, but you certainly read minds.
Brandy?
Now, I'll tell you this. There is nothing you can offer me I like better than a toothful of your fine old brown East India sherry.
Sherry it is.
Thank you. Nectar.
The two little things?
Oh, pardon, yes. I was talking to Mrs. Fig up at the bishop's house. Do you know Mrs. Fig?
The bishop's housekeeper.
The bishop's death has hit her bad. She had no idea of the bishop's recent state of mind, a complete shock to her. She noticed he seemed upset after you visited him the other day, but apart from that, no change of mood, no loss of spirit. Do you know why that might be?
Perhaps it was a case of pas devant le domestique, as the French have it.
A big pardon?
One tends to put on a brave face in front of the servants.
Oh, that may be it. But I'm not so sure. You see, there's the second thing. Tell me, was the bishop a tidy man?
A tidy man?
It is a strange question, and I feel foolish asking it, but if I don't, it'll keep me awake tonight, and then I'll keep Mrs. Bucket awake.
I don't know if he was more or less tidy than the next man.
It's just that if the bishop was in such a mood as to hurl a Bible across the room and then commit suicide, is it not strange he should pick the Bible up and put it back on the shelf? For there it was.
There's no fathoming the mind of a madman.
Ah, but was he mad? Forgive me for saying so, but we only have your word for it.
And my wife's.
Who was recounting what you told her.
And Mrs. Figg's.
She said he was upset, not suicidal.
But you have the suicide note.
Of course. The note. But that's all I have. Oh, well, I'm sure something will turn up to confirm the bishop's state of mind.
We must trust in God, Mr. Bucket.
That we must. Thank you, Reverend.
Reverend Mr.
Skimpton, I'm sorry. And I'm sure Mrs. Bucket thanks you too.
Your sergeant?
A Mrs. Gerald wishes to speak to you, sir, about the Barnett case.
Oh, show her in.
This way, ma'am.
Thank you. And you are?
Inspector Bucket, ma'am. Here's a chair for you. Let me just move these papers.
I'm a busy woman, so I'll thank you if we keep it brief.
As brief as you like, ma'am. How can I help you?
I read in the paper of the appalling death of the Bishop of Barnet. Not that I have time to read the papers, being so very busy with my African project.
African?
Sending Bibles to the natives of the Congo. Have you visited Africa?
I have not had that pleasure.
Oh, finest climate in the world, with precaution.
I imagine so.
I can give you leaflets saying as much.
Forgive me, I'm neglecting your request for brevity.
Yes, Allow me, please, to get to the point. I visited the bishop a week before his death to ask him to write a letter to the Congo natives to go in with the next Bible consignment. I make many such requests of prominent churchmen. It bucks the natives up so. In fact, I have three more appointments today.
Then I mustn't keep you long.
No, you mustn't. The point is, the bishop refused.
He refused?
He said there was no use in it. I said, no use? What of their immortal souls? He said, their souls will be extinguished when they die, just like the rest of us. And he a bishop.
Mrs. Gerald, you've helped us more than you can know. Thank you.
No time for thanks. Africa calls.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Straw?
Yes, sir.
That lady, that's what you get when you trust in God. So, Mrs. Fig, think back. The days before the bishop's death, can you remember any unexpected visitors, apart from the Reverend Mr. Skimpton?
Yes. There was one.
A red-headed lady with a busy manner, a Mrs. Gerald?
No. It was a young boy. Little street Arab. He asked to see the bishop. Of course, it was all a ruse. I caught him on the way out with the bishop's watch and chain in his pocket. Oh, I gave him a walloping.
So he did see the bishop?
Of course. The bishop was so kind, he always had time for the poor.
Oh, steady. Steady, Mrs. Fig. Do you remember the boy's name?
He didn't give a name. But I've seen him around. He plays in Manningtree Road. Sad little tyke. Got a club foot.
A club foot, eh?
Biscuit?
Oh, thank you. Mrs. Fig, someone should snap you up. You are a true treasure.
Oh, now, really? Are you married, Mr. Bucket?
Boy, what are you with there, young'un?
A rat.
A rat? Are you sure it's dead?
Positive.
How do you know?
I killed it.
What do you want a rat for?
The bait.
What for?
The pike.
What pike?
The pike has lived down that drain.
There's no pikes lived down that drain.
There is. Sally said so.
Well, if Sally says so, there's a pike down the drain. Let's try and catch it, shall we? You got any string?
Of course.
What's your name?
Who's asking?
Mr. Bucket.
Funny name.
Ain't it? What's yours?
Thomas.
Right. Now, Thomas. I hear you went to see the bishop. Boy, hey, where are you going to?
Look over me, I didn't do nothing.
Settle down now.
You hurt me arm.
Well, if you stop your wriggling, I'll loosen me grip. It's not about the watch. You've had your walloping. There. All right, now, that's better. So why did you visit the bishop? Here's a penny.
A man asked me.
A man? What man was that?
Just a man.
What'd he say? Here, have another penny.
He wrote some words on a piece of paper. It says, I should go and ask the bishop to put them into English.
What foreign words were they?
Latin, he says. I was to tell the bishop my mum wanted the English to put in the sampler. Paid me a sovereign to do it.
A sovereign?
Make sure he writes it down, mind, he says. Bring it back to me and there's another sovereign.
Two sovereigns? You're a rich man, Thomas. The piece of paper with the Latin. Have you still got it?
Use it to wrap up me half-suck sweets. See?
Yeah. Yes, I do see. Now then, Thomas, see this? A third sovereign. You give me your sweetie wrapper, and it's yours.
Thanks, mister.
Wait, Thomas! I'll be having me watch back now.
Clara, my dear, at home.
Nico, it's so late.
I'm sorry, darling. Lambeth duties.
What could have kept you in Lambeth till past 12?
Good works, my dear. Good works.
Have you been drinking?
Oh, don't look so sullen. Give your husband a kiss.
I really don't think.
Oh, dance with me, then.
Nico! We have a visitor.
Bucket.
Good evening.
He's been waiting here for the past hour. He wants to speak to you.
All right, Clara, off to bed.
But...
To bed. Now.
Good night, Mr. Bucket.
Good night to you, Mrs. Skimpton.
I've tried that tone with Mrs. Bucket. No good has ever come of it.
Now, what do you want?
Again, 1,000 apologies. What must you think of me? I come, I go, I come back, I go, and here I am again. But so it is. I'm still troubled. Again, a little thing. But if I could just resolve it in my own mind, then I'll disappear and leave you and your wife to mourn your loss in peace. Now, how does that sound, Mr. Skimpton?
Make it quick.
I shall. It all started at 10 o'clock tonight as I was going up to bed. Mrs. Bucket was already fast asleep. As I say, she'd not had much sleep the night before on account of me.
Is this pertinent?
Not only pertinent, but crucial. You see, she turned off the gas. I was climbing the stairs by candlelight, and my thoughts turned to the bishop and his final sad journey up the steps to the bell tower. And then it suddenly struck me. The bishop climbed those steps in the dead of night. A dark night. Just like this.
That much is clear.
Well, I thought, where is his lantern?
His lantern?
He'd have needed a lantern. It's pitch black up there. Yet there was no sign of a lantern, either on the ground with the body or up in the bell tower.
A candle, then?
No wax. Nothing. Therefore, there must have been someone with him who took the lantern away.
Well, since there was nobody with him, the lantern must still be in the bell tower. It's dark up there. He might have kicked it behind one of the beams. Are you sure you looked hard enough?
No, I am not. Do you see why I couldn't sleep tonight? Why I had to get dressed again and come back once more, just to set my mind at rest. I need to look in the bell tower. Tonight.
Tonight?
I've come for the key.
I'm afraid I don't have the key.
Do you not?
I mislaid them. You'll have to go to Jacob's house and get his. You know his house?
I do.
Well, the sooner I find the lantern, the sooner I can sleep. I'm sure it's up there somewhere.
And if you don't find it?
Well, I'll have to reopen the case. As murder.
Good night, Mr. Skimpton.
Good night. Damnation. Hellfire and damnation.
Clara.
Clara, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the lantern?
What?
The lantern. Where is it?
You have it in your hand.
I mean the spare lantern.
Why on earth do you want...
I haven't the time. Where is it?
I think I put it in the stair cupboard.
Oh, you and your cursed tidiness.
But what?
Half a mile to Jacob's house. Half a mile back to the church. That's a round trip of... 15 minutes? Where is the damn thing? Add on 5 minutes to wake up Jacob and get to the point. Thank God he's a long-winded bastard. Makes 20 minutes. Got you. 4 minutes gone. Yes, it was down the side of the divan.
The divan?
Yes, I remembered that's where I last had it.
Down the side of the divan.
How did you get here before me?
Well, strangely, I also remembered I had the bishop's master key in my pocket all along.
So Jacob doesn't know you're here?
Well, I shouldn't think he does. What brings you up here?
I thought I'd come and help you search for the lantern.
Looks like you found it.
Yes.
Where was it?
Behind the door.
Behind the door. Of course, the last place you'd look. Or the first place, in your case.
Yes.
Well, you've saved me a lot of trouble. Shall we go downstairs now?
Certainly.
Oh, I want to ask you about this rather sticky note.
A note?
Yeah. Someone asked the bishop to translate these words onto another piece of paper. Non possum vivere in mundo sin Deo.
It's Latin.
What's it mean? You're a clergyman, you know Latin. No? Well, let me tell you, it means I cannot live in a world without God. The exact words of the suicide note found on the bishop's body.
How strange.
Before you came home tonight, I showed this Latin to your wife. She confirmed the handwriting as your own.
Well, she's mistaken. Poor Clara. Since her father's death, her mind has...
Oh. Skimpton.
Blessed lantern, it's gone out.
Oh. Better light it then. Can't see a thing.
Just getting my matches. Blast. Drop them. Aha. There we are. And here am I. Come and join me.
I don't think so.
Come along. It's lighter over here. We'll go downstairs.
Not just yet, Reverend Mr. Skimpton.
But you must.
Not until I know what you did in the dark while that lamp was out.
Sergeant Straw, are you down there?
Yes, sir.
No! What did you witness?
I saw that gentleman opening this trapdoor.
How about you, Sergeant Bull?
The same, sir.
Constable Darby, sir. Let's have the cuffs on the Reverend Mr. Skimpton.
Damn your eyes, Bucket.
Damn their eyes, more like, Reverend Mr. Skimpton. Standing down there in the dark, they weren't dazzled by your lamp like I was. Nicodemus Skimpton.
Hell.
I arrest you for the murder
hell.
Of the Right Reverend Henry Quested, Bishop of Barnet.
Oh, hell. You knew. You always knew I'd done it.
I didn't know how, though, until 2 minutes ago. Kill as many bishops as you like, Skimpton. But kill one of us lot, and you'll have a higher authority to answer to.
Him?
No, not him. The Commissioner of Metropolitan Detective Police.
You're a very clever man, Inspector Bucket.
Mrs. Bucket would say it's better to be kind than clever. Come along, Reverend.
Reverend Mr. Skimpton.
As you wish, sir. As you wish.
In Bucket and the Whited Sepulchre by James Hendry, Inspector Bucket was played by Tony Haygarth, the Reverend Nicodemus Skimpton by Neil Pearson, the Bishop by Stephen Thorne, Clara by Francis Gray, Liza by Lucy Robinson, Jacob by Greg Hicks, Mrs. Fig by Gillian Goodman, Fikey by Rob Jarvis, and Thomas by Aaron Keeley. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The music was composed by Nick Russell Pavia. The producer was Jane Quill. Bucket and the Whited Sepulchre was a Goldhawk Universal production for BBC Radio 4. It was directed by John Dryden.